The Pittsburgh Steelers have played 6 games. They're 3-3. And they get week 7 off. I'm Jeffrey Benedict. Welcome to the Bye Week Bonanza. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is Behind the Steel Curtain's Bye Week Bonanza. I'm here to give you my 2 cents on the Steelers season that has come so far. Let's jump into it. First off, the Steelers are what we thought they were. They're a team with holes on defense and offense that are being filled by new and young players. A team with the potential to be good or really bad, but most likely was just going to be pretty solid. Maybe have a losing record, maybe slip into the playoffs. You know, that's their range that we expected of them if, you know, we weren't wearing our black and gold colored glasses in the moment, which in the offseason, it's easy to get caught up in that. I've been guilty of that myself. There were times where I was looking into my Steeler crystal ball and saying, man, we could go like 14-3, man, against this incredibly tough schedule and win a Super Bowl, man. That's off-season excitement. We all get that. It's okay. It's okay to have that. It's just also, you know, more realistically, we know that wasn't likely. Moving on, the Steelers' offensive MVP so far for the first 6 games is Derek Watt. No, I'm kidding. That's not at all the case. It's Najee Harris. So this is not a hard question to answer. It's Najee Harris. Anyone saying otherwise is objectively wrong. They just are wrong. Najee Harris is the best player on offense, on the Steelers' offense. He's usually the best offensive player in the game for either team. He's absolutely phenomenal. The only game he got like normal average NFL level blocking, he ran for over 100 yards. And when he gets crappy blocking, he still gains yardage and finds ways to impact in the passing game. The one thing he can't do is pass block. He's legitimately bad at it. Everything else, he's amazing. He draws so much attention after the last couple of seasons where we've been used to running backs just largely being ignored by the defense and like being like, yeah, we don't have to tackle the guy. He'll just kind of run into the back of his offensive lineman and fall down. Barely paying attention. I'm hyperbole, people. But like, you know, get what I'm saying. They've got 3 to 4 defenders at times following Najee Harris. When he's not even getting the ball, it's like a play-action fake. And after the fake is over and it's clear he doesn't have the ball, they're still, like, following him. They know he's the most dangerous player on the field. He's our offensive MVP. I would like to throw a little love Matt Canada's direction. The man has a quarterback that can't run the offense that he uses, that Matt Canada's offense. Ben Roethlisberger can't really run the way Matt Canada's offense is designed. Ben Roethlisberger also can't really run the offense he is comfortable and used to run. There's a lot of it he can't do anymore. He's not moving around making those deep ball throws. He doesn't have the time in the pocket. And he can't do it like he used to do it. And people were like, oh, no quarterback can do that. Yeah, well, Ben used to, right? It wasn't that long ago. Like, you're going back 2013. Right? He was still doing that in 2013. He just didn't have to for a while, and now he can't. That's the simple truth of it. So he's got a quarterback who can't, with the team he has, can't run the offense he would like to run. Matt Canada's offense he would like to run, he can't run with Ben. And so he's meshing the two together and making some kind of hybrid abomination and somehow getting out there and winning some games with that offense. So and he's drawn up some really good plays. Are there things he needs to learn? Yes, but I'd like to give him some credit for the job he's done so far. On the defense, I'm going to cheat. There isn't a defensive MVP. There are exactly 2. Because the Steelers' defense is being carried and sometimes dragged to being a decent defense by 2 players. You probably know who they are. Their names are TJ Watt and Cameron Hayward. They show up every game minus the one TJ missed, my game and a half, and they absolutely dominate. I'm not picking either of them over the other. They are so much closer to each other than the next person on this team is right now. They are incredible, and they're dominant. So for me, there's two defensive MVPs, and I'm sticking with that. I'm not going away from that. The biggest surprise on the Steelers, you're probably going to get a lot of like Trey Norwood stuff. I'm not surprised by Trey Norwood. If you looked at my film room before the season, when they first drafted him, right after the draft, I went through and looked at his film and I was like, okay. Like, they were like, he plays safety, he plays corner, he plays all over the place. I'm watching his stuff and I'm like, no, he plays the Cameron Sutton role. He flat out plays like Cameron Sutton played as the dime back. He plays that role very much, every aspect of it. That's what he did in college. That's what he was really good at. When he got outside of that role, wasn't as good. So we drafted him, moved Cameron Sutton outside, and moved him straight into that dime role. And he's been great at it. That's what he already knew how to do. Like, he didn't come into Steelers training camp and have to learn what to do in our dime defense. It was just doing what he had always done, what he had been great at in college. So that's not a surprise to me. Arthur Millett's not a big surprise to me. I saw him being solid in the roles and being solid in the skills that we use at nickel corner on his film from the Jets. I always like to call them the New Jersey Jets because they play in New Jersey. I'm not getting into that now. This is about the Steelers. Arthur Millett being solid in nickel, that's not a surprise to me. Like, those things aren't surprises. I'm actually going to go with my offensive MVP, Najee Harris. I did not think Najee Harris was going to be this good. I believed he was going to be better than James Conner, better than Benny Snell, better than those guys, but the gap between them is incredible. Najee Harris is legitimately running like he's Le'Veon Bell in his prime. Like, he's that good. He just doesn't have the line. He doesn't have, you know, the circumstances surrounding him that Bell had when Bell was just absolutely dominating. But he is playing. His personal performance is that kind of level. You've got to go back to Jerome Bettis before his groin injuries. You've got to go to maybe Rashard Mendenhall's at his very best, that one season where he really put it together. Maybe. Like, you've got to go to those places to find the last time we've had a running back as good as Najee Harris is. So he is my biggest surprise on the team. My biggest disappointment from the Pittsburgh Steelers so far. Oh, and this one drives me crazy, is the tight end usage. Now, Pat Freiermuth, specifically, he gets open. He doesn't get the ball. The little H-back counter passes they work, where they slip behind the line and catch it and run, those have worked. We've got touchdowns on those. Tight end little runs, those work. The misdirection plays, Zach Gentry's like 13-yard play off misdirection, those work. And even when they're just running the basic offense, there's tight ends getting open, right? When they do play action, half the defense is focusing on Najee Harris. The tight ends are open, and they're not getting the ball. I'm going to put the blame for this on Ben Roethlisberger. I'm going to put it on Matt Canada. You can blame Tomlin. You can blame Art Rooney. You can blame anyone you want. Right? There's enough blame for this to go around. At some point, someone's got to be like, hey, you know, throw to the tight end. Pat Freiermuth has a 90% catch rate. Let me say that again. 90%. He's caught 90% of his targets, right? That's not a joke. 90%, that's ridiculous. That's first on the team, obviously, in catch rate. He's second on the team in yards per target behind Chase Claypool, who's our deep threat. Like, first in catch rate, second in yards per target, fifth on the team in targets. three wide receivers and Najee Harris in front of him in targets. He shouldn't be behind all three wide receivers. He shouldn't be behind all three of them. That's just, you know, they've got to mix it up. They've got to design some plays for him where he's Ben's primary read. They've got to do, this is the bye week, you know, and we talked about this before. After the bye week is when rookies tend to step up in their role on the team. Najee Harris is not going to step up in his role on the team. I can't imagine him doing more. Maybe they have some better plays designed for him, just knowing, you know, tweak a few things, knowing his style better. The big rookie step up I expect is from Pat Freiermuth. I expect them to design more plays for Pat Freiermuth, to get him more involved, to lean on him heavier and let him carry a little more of the load, to take some of the load off of some other players. Take a little bit of pressure off of them. Open things up for them. Freiermuth has to be more involved in this offense. You cannot be posting, you know, the rankings he is. First in catch rate, again, second in yards per target, and not be getting targeted more. You have to get targeted more. All right. There's my soapbox. The one thing that really ticks me off about the Steelers right now. So let me go with the best moment. The best moment this season so far was when Minka Fitzpatrick went on the field on offense against Buffalo. That was the high point of the season. I mean, it didn't get better than kneeling the ball. Kneeling the ball in a game you're not supposed to be in, right? You were expected to get blown out, and you just kneel the ball at the end to seal the win. Fantastic. For the following week, the Steelers were Super Bowl contenders. I loved it. It was just a great week. And so that's my best moment of the season so far. Worst moment of the season would have been watching the Cincinnati game and wondering if Ben Roethlisberger was going to hit a wide receiver again. Like, could you put a ball on target? Wondering how bad he'd have to play to get benched. Wondering if this team is going to win more than like three, maybe four games the entire year. It was that bad. It was awful. That was the game after the game. They talked about his mechanics being off, and it's gotten better. It's gotten better than that, but that was the low point. Oh, watching that was just... It's like you're sitting there and thinking maybe all the people saying Ben is done, he's washed, he's trash, all those people on social media and on the, you know, national news baiting people for clicks. If maybe those guys were right for that game, you're like, oh gosh, they're right. Ben's terrible. But that's not the case. That's not the case now. For the rest of the season going forward, I'm not going to make a prediction. I'm not going to say what's next. What I'm going to tell you is enjoy this team. Enjoy the story of a football season. Of a football season that is the end of an era with Ben Roethlisberger. Our franchise quarterback won us two Super Bowls, took us to a third one. This is the end. He's not going out with a Super Bowl champion. It's not going out John Elway style. He's not going out like Jerome Bettis. You know, not everyone gets to do that, and Ben's not getting to do that. He's had his time. He made his three Super Bowls. He won his two. Enjoy the story of his last ride. Enjoy the story of a defense that is desperately looking for players to step up. Enjoy the Trey Norwoods. Enjoy the players who... Trey Norwood's never going to be a number one cornerback in this league. But enjoy the story of him. Enjoy watching this offensive line come together. Just enjoy the drama of a season where players are hurt and players are stepping up. This team is going to lose some games they should win, and they are going to win some games they should not win. It's going to happen. Just enjoy it. Enjoy the story of this season. This is not a Super Bowl or bust season. This is not that team. I know the standard is the standard, but don't be unrealistic. Don't set an unrealistic standard, okay? The standard is doing the best you can having those results better than they used to be. The 8-8 season in 2019 was disappointing, but it was a great story. Until those last three games when, you know, Cinderella's coach turned back into a pumpkin, you know, and the quarterback turned back into a duck. Enjoy this, right? Just enjoy this season as a fan of the Steelers, as a fan of football. Enjoy the story of the season and don't get stressed so much with, is our team better than this team? Is our team better than whatever? And it starts when we come back from the bye week, the game of the year, for goodness sake. This Browns-Steelers matchup is going to be fantastic. It's going to have all your drama. It's going to have excuses. It's going to have so many storylines. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a messy game. And whatever happens, it's going to be football. It's going to epitomize football. Football isn't the perfectly healthy rosters and the beautiful execution. That's not football. Football is a messy game. It's a game of teams finding themselves, a game of players reaching heights they never thought they could and falling to depths that they never anticipated they would fall to. That's football. Enjoy this football season with the Steelers. As always, I'm Jeffrey Benedict. You can find me on other shows in each week. I'm on Tuesdays on the Cutting Room Floor. I remember what shows I'm on. And Wednesdays, I am with the host of Know Your Enemy, Michael Beck. I'm with him on Wednesday nights. We have a lot of fun. That show comes out in podcast form on Thursdays, but you can see us Wednesday night on YouTube. Enjoy your season. And hey, follow all the Behind the Steel Curtain podcasts. Check out the website. Do all of that. And have a great bye week. Do something with your family this Sunday. Have a good one.